Keep on riding with us as we continue to broadcast the balance and defend the discourse from these Hip Hop Weekly studios. Welcome back to Civic Cypher. I'm your host, Ramses Ja.
He is Ramses Ja. I am Q Ward. You are tuned in to Civic Cypher.
And if you're still tuned in, breathe. Gets better. If you're just tuning in, rewind, because you need to learn a lesson, okay? You need to learn where we stand in this country. For this next part of the show, I need you to stick around because we are going to be discussing some brighter moments that have happened recently in the news, and we're going to share the headlines and the stories behind them. It's important for us to share positive outcomes as well. Black people, we weren't just born to live hard lives and then die. So let's all try to smile. But before we get to that point, I think we should discuss something very special. BABA, Becoming a Better Ally, BABA. Today's BABA is sponsored by Friends of the Movement. You can sign up for the free voter wallet from FOTMglobal.com to support Black businesses and allied businesses, as well as making an impact with your spending. Again, that's FOTMglobal.com. So, today's BABA. I'm not going to say his last name. We're going to shout out a listener. His name is Jonathan. Jonathan is an older man, an older listener of our show, white man, older, big fan. And he sent us a letter that was very heartwarming, very encouraging. And we read that letter on the show before, but after reading that letter, he emailed us again and says, hey, you know what? I can do more than just write a letter. I would like to support you financially. Right? The problem is I'm a little old. I don't use Venmo. I don't have Zelle or all these electronic things. How can I support you fiscally? Would you take a check?
Wow.
Now, this is like 3 months ago. We got the check. And I wanted to read this and share this with him so he hears it. Q Ward and Ramses Ja finally sending you a check. Honored to be your first actual paper check. Hope you're well. Happy New Year. Hope it's a good one for you. Full of love, peace, safety, pleasure, happiness, and that you have many more. Take care, Jonathan.
God bless, Jonathan.
And a handwritten note with a paper check, and it went to a P.O. box, and we left it there for months because we, you know. And I just thought this was the sweetest thing. Wow. And Jonathan, you are the example of becoming a better ally. We need more people like you, and God bless you too, brother. All right. So let's talk about some things that have happened. Again, these, I don't want to call it good news, but
closure, maybe.
Closure. That's a good one. Thank you, man. Thank you. All right. So I'm going to share a bit from CNN, from these happier headlines we have here. A momentous day. All six rogue Mississippi officers got long prison sentences in goon squad torture of two Black men. All right. So there's a lot of words there. The main one is Mississippi. The second one is officers. And then obviously prison sentences is something you don't expect to hear.
Yeah. And that laugh is like ironic and almost sarcastic, because Ramses and I had a run in with Mississippi law enforcement. Oh, it was not pleasant. It was not funny. It was not enjoyable. And some of our friends were actually terrified. And we'll tell that story another time. And we have multiple times before. But yeah, Mississippi and officers. That chuckle is quite ironic.
Yeah. And for folks who listen to the first part of the show, that example illustrates how sometimes you have to accept disrespect.
Yeah.
You have to suppress your desire to have a degree of dignity in order to survive.
We had to do that so we can make it home.
Yep, we did.
Yeah.
So this is what we have to teach our children. So hopefully you understand. Again, for those who listen to the first part of the show. Anyway, I will read a bit more. So Joshua Hartfield, the last of six white former Mississippi law enforcement officers sentenced in the torture of two Black men in January 2023, received a 10-year prison term in federal court Thursday afternoon. The hearing capped an emotional 3 days during which vivid accounts of the horrifying brutality of a self-styled goon squad of deputies gripped a packed courtroom, where the highest-ranking officer on the scene, Brett McAlpin, was sentenced to more than 27 years in prison earlier Thursday. Shackled around his waist and hands, Hartfield choked up and sobbed when he began to address the court. I already know you're going to want to say something, Q. I just could see you. Anyway, here's his quote. He says, "All I wanted to do was help people. I failed to help the two people who needed me the most." All right. The defendants raided a home in Braxton in January 2023 without a warrant, subjected the two black men to racist vitriol, used tasers on them after they had already been handcuffed, beat them with various objects, and shot Jenkins in the mouth. Prosecutors said Mr. Jenkins and Mr. Parker, "I would like to apologize to you both," Hartfield said. The officers went to the home after a neighbor reported several black men were staying at a white woman's home and reported seeing suspicious behavior. The officers kicked in the door of a home where two black men were staying and subjected them to an hour and a half of torture. So we're not giving you all the details. We've covered this story on this show and on the Black Information Network. And, you know, if you want to get like the really graphic, gruesome details beyond this article, just look up the Mississippi Goon Squad. Not to be confused with the Gilbert goons in Gilbert, Arizona. Yeah. Don't think we don't see you.
Unfortunately.
Don't think we don't see you out there in Gilbert. We're close. Anyway. But yeah, I thought that you would get a kick out of his statement. "All I wanted to do was help people. I failed to help the two people who needed me most."
Well, the second part of that statement actually moves me in a way that's different than you might expect.
Okay. Talk to me.
Accountability does not always show up at all. So after he's been handcuffed, shackled, and sentenced, some accountability showed up because he could have stood on what he did and not understood why it was a big deal at all. And saying, even if it was performative, that the two people that needed him the most were the two people that they tortured and beat and shot. That's a lot for him to stand up and say in the wake of just being sentenced to 27 years. He could have been angry and said something way different. Mm-hmm. "I just wanted to help people and I did it. And I didn't help the two people that needed it the most." I think that's actually big of him.
Okay.
Especially in a case where there is some sense of accountability.
I like that.
I think in a lot of cases, this ends different because there are no living victims afterward. Mm-hmm. So the justice, quote unquote, doesn't really show up because there's no account other than that of the police and what we can kind of put together ourselves through evidence. The fact that they tortured these guys and allowed them to live after, as far as accountability goes, is a massive mistake on their part, and why 27 years is a sentence and not four. So I think it's actually very big of him to acknowledge that the two people that needed him the most were the two people that he and his cronies or colleagues or goons or whatever they call themselves subjected these men to.
So this is the part where, so I like that. I love that. However, this is the part and the point in the conversation where I was expecting maybe something different. And the reason for that is because this officer was a part of the goon squad. So to me, my powers of deduction, knowing the goon squad and how they've moved and that this is not an isolated incident, again, my powers of deduction would suggest to me that this was something that he was along the ride for. He was complicit in, he participated in. And before hearing that sentence, it's because your life is gone when you have a 27-year sentence. That's really it for you. The last thing that you did was the worst thing that you did, and it's the thing that you'll be known for, and that will be the story. You may as well go on your tombstone, right? So people do have time to reflect. And again, you're not wrong. That's not nothing. But I don't believe that he just showed up on the scene, saw this happening, and then was intimidated by his fellow officers and didn't say anything. Because that would make more sense
absolutely to
me, him saying, "I didn't help the people." I believe that because he was a part of the goon squad and this is what they did and this is what they were known for, that there was probably... So that's the angle I thought you were going to take.
Yeah, I think the words would ring more hollow if this was like a defense, right? Yeah, that's when they got caught. He was like, look, man, I'm sorry.
That was
too
much.
Guys,
it was OD. Yeah.
It'd be different. Yeah. After the sentencing, these words ring a little different because you don't even have to. It's not about you accepting accountability at this point. The 27 years have been.
You're already guilty.
You're already guilty.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
For these words to come in wake of that, I think they ring a little different than if they had been his defense in the beginning or him pleading for a lesser sentence.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that he didn't do that.
No, correct.
But I suspect that, there's six of them. So from what I understand that, you know, all of them were trying to wiggle out of it somehow and shift the blame around. But that is not nothing. You know, they're all sentenced and, you know, there are two living black men who endured something horrible, but yes, they're still alive. And so that's not nothing. So that's why I can't call it a good. It's not good.
I mean, news. It's not celebratory, yeah, right? Because it's in the wake of something awful happening to us again. But in a lot of these cases, and like I said, especially when the victims don't survive,
yeah, then it's a lot.
The accountability is a lot less.
Yeah.
Even when found guilty in cases like this, the sentencing is typically very light. Yeah. You're talking about multiple years, even when found guilty of murder and manslaughter. Okay. So, you know, in the case where you got two living victims, an officer getting 27 years is some form of justice and accountability,
yeah,
which we don't typically see in cases like this.
So another more positive headline. This comes from CBS Chicago. Conservative activist Kyle Rittenhouse cut short a speaking event on Wednesday night at the University of Memphis after he was drowned out by angry protesters.
He's an activist now?
What it says.
Wow.
CBS affiliate WREG-TV reports Rittenhouse was invited to speak by the campus organization of conservative advocacy group Turning Point USA. Rittenhouse was acquitted of all felony charges for shooting three people, killing two of them in 2020 during protests over the police shooting of Jacob Blake. Rittenhouse, who was 17 at the time of the shootings, had claimed he shot the men in self-defense. WREG-TV reported his appearance at the university Memphis had sparked weeks of controversy, and he was quickly shouted down at the UC Theater Wednesday evening when he told the audience he, quote, was violently attacked by a mob of rioters, unquote, in Kenosha. Instead of the planned speech, the event swiftly moved to a Q&A session, but Rittenhouse was ushered off the stage after about 30 minutes after protest repeatedly yelled and booed. It's nice to know that people, I mean, it's not surprising that it would take place on a college campus, but still, it's nice to know that people are not accepting this worst timeline.
Yeah, it's a strange juxtaposition, though, because a college organization brought him to campus.
Yeah, that's the weird part.
You know what I mean? So it's a weird thing to witness this guy be somehow made an activist and hero for going home, getting a gun, going to a place and killing people, yeah, and then making himself somehow the victim and the hero in this story is really insane. Mm-hmm. But it's not the first time we saw something like this happen where these people get to do horrible things to us, zero accountability, and somehow become heroes and go on speaking tours and sign autographs.
Yeah.
We saw this happen in the wake of Trayvon Martin. We've now seen this in the case with this young man, and where the political backing kind of hails these guys up and lifts them up as heroes too. It gives you an idea into the mindset of tens of millions of people in this country,
yeah,
who think that things like this should be celebrated and that these guys should be labeled heroes. Right? If that kid really made a mistake and went there and was defending himself, you think he'd be a bit more somber, a bit more apologetic, a bit more sorry at the way things played out.
Taking a life,
allowing himself to be made a hero and kind of living in it and making money off gross. Of it is insane.
Gross. I mean, if I gotta be known for something, the last thing I want to be known for is ending a life. That just feels a little low vibrational. But like I said, shout out to the students at the University of Memphis for showing up and showing out and not letting him get off his nonsense. That's not nothing, you know. And you know what? There's been some colleges around the country, some college campuses that have been showing up, man. I want to make sure that I shout out all the college campuses. I know there's a couple in California that have been, I think it's called BDS or something, divestment and sanctions for the state of Israel, so that Palestine can get aid. And, you know, there's these calls for a ceasefire. And so these students are organizing on their campus not to do business, effectively not to do business with Israel, and hurt their pockets. And we talked about this last week. So if Suzanne Aslam's listening, I'm so sorry that I'm not articulating it the way that you did. But I know that there's other college campuses around that are is booming right now. So shout out to all the student activists out there that are letting your voices be heard. You know, we like to support you when we feel like you support us, and we're all going to get where we need to be at some point in the future. All right, let me share this last one with you. This one comes from the Black Information Network, and this is kind of a baba, but it's making headlines. So UN Chief Antonio Guterres is calling for reparations over the transatlantic slave trade to, quote, help overcome generations of exclusion and discrimination, unquote. On March 25th, Guterres made the call for reparations amid the UN International Day of Remembrance of the Victims of Slavery. Guterres said the transatlantic slave trade laid the foundations for a violent discrimination system based on white supremacy, unquote. It goes on to say, we call for reparatory justice frameworks to help overcome generations of exclusion and discrimination. Experts say at least 12.5 million Africans were kidnapped, forcibly transported by European ships and merchants, and sold into slavery between the 15th and 19th centuries. A UN report released in September suggested countries consider slavery reparations. Quote, this is the movement that will signal finally the collective victory of humanity, of good over evil. Hilary Beckles, chair of the Reparations Commission of the Caribbean Community Political and Economic Union, previously said at the UN General Assembly. So, I want to say a couple things here.
Please, because I definitely have something to say on this one.
Okay, well, let me just get a couple bars off and then we'll go to you. But this call is not just to the U.S. It's to Portugal. It's to Great Britain. It's to all the countries that were involved in the slave trade. I also want to say, for people that push back and say, well, Africans weren't kidnapped, blah, 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 this and any other, that is not true. For everybody that thinks of African slaves, you know, and you, I that push back against this, I argue that you've been taught to undervalue African life. And so the word African may not trigger the emotional response that it does for us and people who have not been conditioned in the way that you are. So I ask you, perform a thought experiment going through all of this, you know, all your beliefs, and change the word African slave to sex slave. And then see if you feel the same way. All right, go ahead.
I think that's a very powerful visual and mental stimulating exercise that you just expressed. And I hope people actually do it.
Yeah.
Or replace African with child or child, anything.
Yeah, anything other than African, because you've been taught to devalue us, but you have not yet been taught to devalue the life of a child or a sex slave or anything like that. You still have empathy for those humans.
Yes.
So, all right, go ahead.
I'm not looking forward to the show that we have to do when this is somehow brought to a vote and the country that doesn't say yes is the one that we live in.
Yeah.
I think it's important that this is not just a call to the U.S. because I've lived in these other countries. I've lived in Spain and spent a lot of time in Portugal.
Yeah.
I know how the Portuguese feel about their history. Mm-hmm. They probably helped author this.
Yeah.
Right. I know how almost every other developed economic powerhouse in the world feels about parts of their history that are similar to this, even if they're not as grotesque, and they disavow and they stand against and they highlight so that the people know, so that the children know, so that everybody understands that these moments were awful. Mm-hmm. And then they learn and propel forward from those, where this country tries to pretend it didn't happen, make light of it, tell us all the benefits that we got from being made slaves. And I am not looking forward to us having to do a show where somehow this becomes something real in the UN and the United States is the country that doesn't raise its hand when it's time to say yay on something like this.
You know, the interesting thing, I have to have this conversation tomorrow. I have to have this conversation all the time, but on our other show that we do. Voting matters. You know, the reason that the Supreme Court is hacking down all of our rights and and equitable access to different levels of society is because there are people who didn't vote in 2016. People who felt the stakes weren't high enough. They didn't affect them.
And not just that, Rams. We've spoken before, and our people say proudly all the time that we are not a monolith.
We should be.
We should be.
Thank you.
That is kind of
it's getting kind of tight out here, y'all.
Right? We are very splintered and very, very particular about the things that we will support, and the other side is not. They are singular in their hate for us and their disdain for us and in their mission to keep us under their boot and under their thumb. And because of that, we took emails from a female presidential candidate and made that a disqualifier for her. And we have not done the same for the 19 and counting federal criminal indictments for another candidate who has already been president, is very, very popular and leading the way to become that again. Right. So that president was not polite, was not decent, was not honest, was not honorable. And is the reason we have such a lopsided Supreme Court, and the reason why things that a lot of you probably thought were made law have been overturned with regards to DEI, affirmative action, and women's rights in this country. So we need to figure out a way to become more united on something and become more organized and mobilized better and at getting the outcomes that we want in this country, because we are losing that fight in a very, very aggressive way.
I think you're absolutely right. There's as frustrating as it is, especially when you have, let's say you have two candidates and you don't want to vote for neither of them, right? You still have to accept the fact that voting is the only way to shape outcomes in a democracy. That's it. That's the game that everyone is playing. And if you don't participate, then other people shape your reality too. So it's just a reality we have to deal with. But we're going to have to leave it right there. So as always, I'd like to thank you for rocking out with us one more again here on Civic Cypher. I have been your host, Ramses Ja.
I am Q Ward. If you are on our live today, Instagram Live, and you see the comment that is pinned, message me, DM me. If you have my personal information, reach out to me. I need advice, people, because I have to deal with this very real situation tomorrow, and I will not pretend that I am prepared for it. So
you can also follow Q at
I am Q Ward,
and I am at Ramses Ja, and you can hit us on all of our social media at Civic Cypher collectively. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are launching our lives on YouTube so that more people
live can interact. Fully interactive shows on YouTube, yeah. Starting next month.
Yeah, so make sure you subscribe on our YouTube, and hit the website civiccypher.com, and until next week, y'all.
Peace.
Peace.